Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning, the President and Chairman of Novo Resources. Thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning.
Thank you, Jay.
The project that you're working on is very unique, and you know, I had just recently was talking to an analyst who's a pretty well-known fellow, who's very accomplished and has been around for quite a while, very experienced guy, and he says, I just can't understand why Dr. Henning isn't drilling that target down there in Western Australia, the Pilbara targets that he has. So explain real quickly, if you can, why it is, Quentin, that you just can't drill this like you would a normal project. Even if you put the drill core, even if you put the drills closely together, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, sure. That's anybody that's followed Novo's story and what we're doing here in Australia understands that this is a very nuggety deposit. The gold occurs as nuggets in the matrix of these conglomerate deposits. And, you know, they're randomly distributed through the conglomerate. So the odds of hitting gold, you know, for grade purposes at least, is pretty slim. We can drill for geology, but we have to bulk sample to get estimate of grade.
All right. You seem to be focusing now on a new target that you picked up, Egina. But I also, before we get to that, I'd like to ask you about the first project that you worked on at Beaton's Creek. I think you did do some drilling. You combined drilling and bulk sampling there, I believe, and you came up with a resource. It looks pretty attractive to me. There's 667,000 ounces, pit-constrained, I believe, with grades of, what is it, 2.3 or something like that, grams per ton. So you were able to use both drilling and I think drilling and bulk sampling to pull that together, right?
We did. You know, that was the first deposit we tackled here in Australia. We learned, you know, how to deal with coarse gold. Not quite as coarse as Karratha or Egina, but it is coarse gold. We revised our resource, basically upgraded it based on some more work that we did last year. But we're also going to do a further upgrade of that resource shortly. I would say by maybe February of next year. The drilling, and this would be core drilling and bulk sampling that we've done recently, should augment that resource. We're targeting, at least 1 million ounces there.
Okay, 1 million ounces, and then that might justify the capital expenditure and so forth. But all I'm saying is I'm looking at some of the, you've recently put out a technical report that indicates to me at least that your cost, your operating cost ought to be pretty modest. And, you know, I don't know of too many open pit targets that are grading 2.3 to 2.6 grams per ton. With low stripping ratios and so forth. So anyway, that's another topic for another day, Beaton's Creek. I know your primary focus right now is on Egina. Talk to us about Egina and what makes that special and why you've decided to focus on Egina after having spent the last year or so focused heavily on Karratha. But what's special about Egina and what's going on there right now?
Yeah, Egina is really an extension of the Karratha Gold Project. It's on the east side of the tenement area. Egina is basically the gold is derived from the same conglomerates that we have at Comet. Well, it's not that we're shifting focus; it's that we're, you know, expanding and working in this new area. We have a lot of work going on at Comet. Well, as you remember, we're doing ore sorting testing and other things right now. But at Egina, we wanted to get some work done here late this year to get some, you know, basic fundamental answers about the deposits. First of all, we've got conglomerate. Like I said, we've got similar conglomerates that come at well. But more interestingly, there's a large flat area we call the terrace. It's basically an erosional surface, a very, very flat surface that's formed over millions of years. As these conglomerates have eroded back, the gold in them has been redistributed into a gravel horizon, a lag gravel horizon. That's about a meter or two thick. And it sits right at surface. So right now we're bulk sampling. In fact, I've been at Egina over the past couple of days. And we're just about done doing the bulk sample work. And we will be able to tell the market what we found here shortly. It's a very, very interesting project. The gold, I've been panning the gold as it, you know, the concentrates come out of the IGR plant. And, you know, my opinion is the gold is clearly derived from weathering of the nearby conglomerate. So it's quite exciting to think. It's like Mother Nature pre-milled the deposit for us.
Ah. So you talked in your December 13th press release about 170-ton bulk samples. Is that what you're talking about from Egina? And you're suggesting that we may be getting some assays from that fairly soon, Quentin?
That's correct, yes. So just so people know, we are treating the sample through our own IDR 3000 test plant. This is the same plant we used at Peaton's Creek a couple of years ago. It works fantastic. It's been performing excellent. We've put the 170-ton through. We just finished today. We're treating the concentrates, panning them down. In fact, I've been involved with that. And I would say sometime in the next few days, maybe a week or so, we should be able to talk about the grade that we're seeing from that. You know, it is coarse gold. It's just like the gold that you see at Comet Well. All right, but again, it's been eroded and it's loose. The nuggets are loose in this gravel material.
All right.
Very exciting. I think this result should give everyone a taste for what we're dealing with.
And you expect to learn some things, I guess, from this bulk sample that might help you set up a protocol for sampling and producing in the future?
That's right. So this sample, we could have done 2 tons or we could have done 5 tons like we did to Comet Well, but we have the luxury here of digging as much as we want. So we're doing, say, 150 or 200-ton samples to get a better estimate of grade, and I think they worked fantastic. So basically, we've already established now the protocols for sampling and treating this material, and once the rainy season ends next year, say, February or March, we'll be able to jump in here and start sampling systematically across the Egina mining leases.
Now, in your December 13th press release, you also talked about 3 smaller samples weighing about 20 tons each. They were collected for metallurgical test work. Are you looking at the possibility of this separation technology that you talked about over at Karratha?
That is absolutely correct. You know, one of the great benefits of coarse gold is that it is reasonably easy to treat. You can use gravity techniques, but we also have found that this ore sorting, this machine that scans rocks or particles and identifies those with gold, and then flicks them off using air jets. This thing is up and coming. It will revolutionize the mining industry, and we're looking at how we can apply it to the projects both at Comet Well and Egina. But we're also looking at other techniques too. There's several options we might have to treat this material. It's coarse, it's free, easy to recover, so there's definitely multiple options we're looking at.
And I'm imagining this has potentially a very significant impact on the economics of a project if you can get rid of non-gold-bearing rock. I mean, I watched you at Karratha. You had there's a video that people can watch that shows how this thing works. And I would say, every now and then a rock would get hurled into a bin that was a little further away. And I'm assuming that those rocks that were, those few that were separated, were the ones that are gold-bearing. Is that the idea?
That's correct, and we should have data to support that very, very shortly. We are assaying the concentrate, and those should be ready within a few days. The tailings, basically the rock that did not get picked, by the machine, that has to be assayed too.
Sure.
To understand effectiveness, but we'll get those assays sometime early next year.
And it seems to me one of the reasons it would be economically important is because you are out in the middle of the desert, out sort of away from where, I guess you probably don't have power lines. You don't have cheap electricity there, right? Or am I right about that? And if so, then you'd have to use diesel?
Actually, it's just the opposite. The iron mining industry is not too far south of us. And the power production capacity of the region is actually quite good. There's lots of offshore natural gas. There's power stations. They burn natural gas. They produce power for the iron ore mines. And all those transmission lines basically go right straight across these areas that we're working.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for telling me that. I don't know why I wasn't aware of that. But, even so, if you can get rid of the non-gold-bearing rock and not have to move that through a mill, it's obviously a big advantage.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so the 20-ton sample, you figure we'll start getting some assays on that as well, those smaller bulk samples that you're using?
Yeah, just so people know, the the sample that we're treating right now, the 160 to 170 ton sample that we've just finished, that will give us a good number. The other samples, the 20 tonners, were taken right next to this sample, and they're more for metallurgical purposes. But so it's not, they're not like the grade will be settled by the 170 ton sample, in my view. Those samples will just give us some data on how we can treat this material.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that, to the assays from the 170 ton sample. And I guess what you're telling us is it could come even before the new year, possibly.
Yes, it could, very well. In fact, that's my goal here. We're working frantically at the moment. It's very hot. It's been up towards 120 degrees over the past couple of weeks, but we've pulled it off, and I think we'll be able to tell the market what's in this material.
All right. Well, just sort of in summing up, Quentin, your vision of how the Witwatersrand deposit was formed always fascinated me. It was one of the reasons that I really got excited and interested in what you were doing down there. And you had this vision, and I think you still do, of a very vast basin that is hosting gold mineralization. And that as you get down deeper into the basin, the characteristics of the gold might change. At least that's what I think I heard you say in the past. Do you see the possibility are you still focused at all in the future and in your mindset? Are you looking at something deeper down in the basin? I mean, it seems obvious to me the reason you're focusing on the near shore stuff, the shoreline material that seems to be, very nuggeting, as you say, that's the obvious place to look first. You don't start to spend a lot of time and money going, hundreds of meters down if you can get it right on surface, right? But my question is this: do you still see prospects of gold mineralization in deeper in the basin? And maybe explain, because I've had some people complaining that you haven't done any exploration down deep. Can you just sort of sum up your ideas on that?
Yeah, sure. Look, first of all, to put the size of the system in perspective, we're talking about something that underlies an area of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of square kilometers. So it's a very, very large basin. We are basically nibbling around the edge of it at this time. There's many occurrences of gold that have been found. This gold rush that was sparked by Nova's first work at Comet Well has turned up many occurrences. I visited some neighboring properties with their geologists recently, and they're seeing the same things we are. So it's very encouraging to see gold and similar gold derived from multiple outcrops, many outcrops along strike. And, it also points to the fact that there's likelihood that this continues into the basin there. Geologically, it wouldn't make sense to have it all around the rim and then not see it continue into the basin. But then it becomes a matter of economics. As you say, why are we going to go out and drill, 500-meter holes when we have, gold sticking out of the ground, say at Egina, that is easy and cheaper to tackle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, is there still a sense in your mind that there may be more continuity and less nuggeting, or maybe the sort of reefs that we're seeing in South Africa deeper in the basin? Because I know early on you talked about the high energy part of the basin, which would be near the shoreline, and that would make some sense, it seems in my mind, of not having this sort of continuous gold mineralization where you might have things that are knocked apart and whipped around.
Okay, I'm going to give you a what might sound like a funny answer, but we already see some evidence that there is a change in the system. Because at Egina, for example, there's erosion that cuts back into the basin quite a ways. In other words, we get a little peek at what's going on. And I would say give us about six, nine months, something like that, and we'll start to tell you in great detail what's going on out there.
A little more down in the basin. All right. Well, so in summing up here then, the drivers that investors should be looking forward to, I guess starting with the 170 a ton bulk sample, and what else?
Really, that news release we put out a couple of days ago, late last week, outlines everything in the short term. So we've got the TOM sorting at Comet Well, for example. That data should be forthwith. The mineralization report will be out early next year. We're moving that everything forward just like we've told the market. And then at Engina, I think you're going to see more activity. Just my gut says, based on what we're seeing there, this is an important project for us, and I think you'll see components of test mining, things like that, in 2019. Beaton's Creek, really interesting. You know, I think we can get the resource. Again, the target, 1 million ounces, is achievable in my view. We should be able to publish that sometime around February or March. You know, so we're hitting on all cylinders right now. And, you know, in spite of the stock price being down, we are seeing the fruits coming in from all of this work we've done in these conglomerates.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us once again. It's always fascinating to watch this very unusual story unfold. And I look forward to catching up with you again in a couple of months from now. All the best.
Thank you.